All right, so Luke chapter 12, we're going to begin reading with verse 13. And someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." Jesus told them this parable, saying, "The land of a certain rich man was very productive. And he began reasoning to himself, saying, 'What shall I do since I have no place to store my crops?' And he said, 'This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor for your body as what you shall put on, for life is more than food, and the body than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, and they have no storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? Do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink. Do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. But seek first his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you." Let's pray. We do thank you, Father, for loving us and giving us encouragement and security. And I pray, Father, that we would not worry about the circumstances of our temporal life, but that our focus would be upon bringing glory unto your holy name. Thank you, Father, for this chance to join together and be encouraged by your word. And I pray that our lives would be blessed as we study this word this morning. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And so this morning we are continuing our discussion about the proper understanding and attitude of a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we saw last week, and we'll always see when we talk about discipleship, our discussion hinges upon the focus that we have on eternal life and not upon the temporal things. I know all of us in this room have spent our lives experiencing the temporal stuff, and so it is a natural thing to have desires and understandings and concerns about the temporal stuff. But God has called us to more than just living in existence. God has called us to live a life of service to him and not to the possessions of this world. And so the challenges that he makes to us this morning in our text are just to encourage us that, yes, there is a reality of this temporal life where we have things that need to be cared for, but we are God's, and God is the supplier, and God is going to take care of those needs, and we are to focus upon our servanthood and our service to God and bringing Him glory in our lives. So let's look at our text this morning. Luke chapter 12, verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me." But Jesus said to him, "Man, who appointed me a judge or arbitrator over you?" So, what? Number one, I'll just get it out of the way right off the bat. What Jesus is not saying is that he's unconcerned about fair play and about the events and lives of his disciples. Okay, we just get that out of the way before people start nitpicking stuff. But there is a time and a place for everything. There is a time to understand humility and servanthood, and there's a time to worry about property rights at some point. Jesus' function and his ministry was all about introducing people to the kingdom of God. And he was not there to worry about the petty squabbles of the temporal things of this world. And so it's not that God is unconcerned about this. I mean, there is a whole lot of stuff in the Bible about how we are to handle our material possessions. There's a lot of stuff there. And we are to be good stewards of those material things. So that we should have some concern for that stuff. But overriding that is our concern for bringing God the glory and telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's always of primary importance. Verse 15. Jesus said to them, "Beware and be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." So Jesus clearly then outlines what the problem was here, is just our natural inclination to want to come out on top on everything. We want stuff to be ours and want people to know that this stuff is ours. The problem from the very beginning that man had with God was recognizing who really was the owner. That was actually the temptation that Eve was confronted with in the Garden of Eden. You know, if you just eat this thing, you would be like God. God's the owner. God's in charge. God's the boss. We want to be that. That's always true. And that's very difficult in all of our situations to try to get beyond that. I mean, a pastor has temptations about being smarter and better looking and more powerful than anybody else in the church. Of course, I fit all those categories. And you know, at your work, you want to be the best, and certainly that's true. You do want to be your best to glorify God, not so people will look at you and say, "Wow, that guy's really sharp." So it's a big difference in those concepts. So Jesus just wanting to remind us that we are not God and that our physical possessions do not define who we are. Really, a lot of people define themselves by their material possessions. But our material possessions are tools for us to use to show forth the glory of God. We should do our utmost in that arena. Verse 16. Jesus told them a parable saying the land of a certain rich man was very productive. He began reasoning to himself saying, "What shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops?" He said, "This is what I will do. I will tear down my barns, build larger ones. There I will store all my grain and my goods." So if we get this point in the parable, we can pause briefly and recognize that there's no conflict of interest here between God's plans and man's plans. Certainly, we are called to be good stewards of whatever God has given us, and that means planning ahead. If your crop is abundant, then you got to do something with that abundant crop. It may be that you need to build bigger barns. That's true. That's not, again, his plan is not necessarily bad. What happens is what his attitude is about this abundant crop, beginning with verse 19. "I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. That is the problem right there. The focus is not upon God, not upon God's provision. Now, what can I do with God's provision? But the focus is upon me. The focus was on the rich farmer and not upon the ministry of God or whether or not he can help somebody with this. He's all concerned about my ease. I want to eat, drink, and be merry. And quite frankly, there's nothing wrong with enjoying the proceeds of your hard work. And we should have time when we just are enjoying what God has provided for us as we have worked for that. But what was wrong was the attitude that was controlling this person's efforts. It wasn't being controlled by ministry given to them by God, but it was being controlled by what I can gain and how I can feel after this is all over, said and done. Okay? He focuses on the temporal. God says to him, verse 20, "You fool, this very night your soul is required of you. Now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." So he really, the temporary is just temporary. And we have talked about that several times, but I like for us to continue to remember that. It is important that Rick feeds his family. I wouldn't want them to waste away and have no place to live and be unclothed and that kind of stuff. It's important. So he has a responsibility to do that. But it is his attitude beyond that with what God blesses that is important. And need to keep that in focus, that this stuff is all temporary. If you've studied any history of wealth, you know that there are times in our history when one day people have had lots of money on paper and the next day they have nothing. Yeah? If that's the only thing you're trusting in, guess what you do? You jump off of buildings and stuff like that. If your attitude is about the eternal, you go, "Wow, it was sure nice to have a backup plan, and my backup plan is to trust God." Because that's the only way you can live, is to trust God. And when we die, that physical stuff no longer has any meaning or purpose. You're dead. And you are standing before God in judgment. And that's what God says. This man dies, verse 20, "I'm going to require your soul of you." Then what's going to happen with all these temporary stuff? It's not going to be for you. "So is the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Not thinking about the permanent, but only thinking about the temporal. All right, moving on. Verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, "For this reason I say to you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat, nor your body as to what you shall put on. For your life is more than food, and the body than clothing." So again, God reminds us and is instructing us to have an understanding about what life is all about. Life is not about acquiring things. Life is about serving God. How are we living to serve God? And acquiring things may help us do that, and acquiring things may help us not do that. So we have to have that right attitude. We have to keep that adjusted. And so Jesus tells his disciples, don't worry about the temporal things of life, about eating, putting on clothes, staying somewhere. Life is more than that. You know, I sometimes, you know, when we watch period pieces of movies and things like that and see how people lived, you know, 200 years ago or something in some dirt-floored shack that had holes all over the place and the wind was blowing through it, I always think, oh my gosh, I sure am thankful for central heat and air conditioning. Let's bring the animals into the house and live with us so we'll be warmer. What a terrible idea. But That's the attitude, in a way, that you need. This stuff is temporary. How am I going to get through the temporary stuff so that I can serve God and glorify God in the things that I do? Because life really is more than just having a meal on the table, getting some clothes on, having housing. Those all satisfy for a moment, but they have no value in eternity. So then Jesus gives these examples of how he cares for even the simplest things. Verse 24. Consider the ravens. They neither sow nor reap. They don't have storerooms nor barns, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds. And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single cubit to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why are you anxious about other matters? So just a little instruction in how God operates here. That one, look how God takes care of things. You know, a part of creation, well, maybe all of creation, is there to remind us about God. You can go out there and you can look at how God cares for his creation. The birds are getting fed. They especially like it when I till my garden. They get fed even better, apparently. They are out there digging in the worms. But they're being fed. God takes care of them. They don't have a big storehouse. They don't have barns. They don't have any place except a tree to shelter them generally when they're in their nest. None of that stuff. But yet, they just go about doing their business of serving God in their capacity as birds. And God says, how much more important are you than birds? I'm caring for the birds. Won't I care for you? 25 says that, okay, you don't really got that concept yet. How many of you can extend your life just because you want to? Can't. Now, we can care for ourselves, and we should. We should try to stay healthy and active and stuff like that, but we really don't have that much control. I mean, it is a breath away from going into eternity. That's where we're at. You can't change that, so why do you worry about that? And the last thing he says in verse 26 is, if you can't even do this little thing, like determine how long you're going to live, then why are you worried about all this other stuff? Why are you anxious about these other things? God can provide. God cares for us. God is God. That's a lesson that we have always needed to learn and always need to remember. God has many promises in his word about how he's going to take care of his children. This temporal life, God promises that he will care for us. Now, some of those events are not the way we'd want to be cared for because of our selfishness and our attitude problems. But God has looked at the smallest details of our life, numbered the hairs on your head, and just moves and does his thing because he's God. And so he has promised to care for us. And do we believe he is able? I believe God is able to care for us. If you have this foundation of faith, then let's stop worrying about things that we have no control over, really, in life. Verse 27, another example. Consider the lilies, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory did not clothe himself like one of these. But if God so arrays the grass in the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, O men of little faith? So Jesus, referring to a common plant in the Middle East that grows, and when it blooms, it's absolutely gorgeous, is what I've been told. I've never been over there, so I don't know. Seen pictures. But it only lasts a day. And then what do? Well, the common farmers and such there, they go out there and they cut that grass for fuel. So one day it's a beautiful cluster of flowers. The next day it's it's stoking your fire so that you can have some warm food to eat, I guess. But the fact of the matter is that he says that no matter how rich Solomon was, and Solomon was pretty doggone rich, when you read through that story, he says he didn't compare to what God has given to these flowers of the field, just the wild flowers of the field. And tomorrow they're going to be thrown into the furnace. So we need to look at creation, see all that God has made, how God continues to sustain his creation, how God cares for the smallest detail of what might be considered insignificant things, and ask ourselves, will God not care for those whom he has claimed as his own? The church has a very special privilege that God has called us his own, and he is promising to provide for us. Verse 29, do not seek what you shall eat and what you shall drink. Do not keep worrying, for all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek. But your Father knows that you need these things. Throughout history, man has always worried about his stuff and about how things are going to turn out. But men of God, meaning men and women, if you want to, I'm sorry that I'm not correct, politically correct on stuff sometimes, but men of God, men and women of God, can trust God. The people who have nothing more than this world to think about, then maybe they do need to worry because this is all they got. But for us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, this personal relationship is more than all the physical things that we can acquire. We are instead looking to what God has promised us in eternity. God knows our physical needs. God has promised to care for us, and God is able to care for us. So we should be focusing upon our service to him and our life of service for him. Verse 31, seek first his kingdom, and these things shall be added to you. As a disciple of Christ, our goal is to bring glory unto God. That is our first priority, and we trust God to care for the secondary priorities of our life, sustenance and clothing and housing. This passage of Scripture this morning points toward having a proper attitude as a disciple. We are not to let the cares of the world crowd into our lives and crowd out the opportunities that we have to glorify God and work on eternal things. This life and our material possessions are only of benefit in this life. But there is an eternity, and God has promised for his own certain things. And that eternity is determined by our decision that we make concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. And once we have made our choice for Jesus, we have the responsibility to proclaim the good news to our fellow man. Serving God then becomes our mission and our purpose. And I encourage you, church, to fulfill your mission. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us and showing your mercy upon us. Bless our time together this morning. Encourage us to keep our focus upon the eternal and to just live in with the attitude of seeking to serve you in what we do. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.